our Scripture Standard Version. This is the updated edition. But I encourage you to follow along with your favorite translation, your favorite editions of those translations that you have. What we're going to do is we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to begin at verse 19 and continue through verse 22. And I invite you to hear these words. O people in Zion, inhabitants of Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord may give you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself any longer. But your eyes shall see your teacher. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And then you will defile your silver-covered idols, your gold-plated images. You will scatter them like impure things. You shall say to them, away with you. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Lord, truly these are your words. And we ask that in this moment, Lord, that you will not let us only hear these words, but Lord, teach them to us. May our hearts experience the same presence of you speaking in our lives that the prophet Isaiah experienced in his own life. And Lord, I thank you for the words that you have spoken to my heart. I pray and ask that as I speak this morning, that my words may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. You know, I think all of us, even in the middle of, as our children were reminding us, I think we all have moments, even in the middle of global positioning systems and GPS and all that, that we have times in our lives where we don't quite know where we're going. Decisions that, well, as Isaiah is showing us, decisions that should we go left or should we go right? But imagine being in a place where you were able to hear God speaking to you and saying, this is the path, walk in it. That is a beautiful passage of scripture from the prophet Isaiah. One of the very first jobs, one of the very first jobs that I had was a job at Flowerland Florist. And it was on Gary Avenue in Fairfield. Fairfield's on the western side of Birmingham. If you're not really familiar with it, I don't know, I guess these landmarks are sticking in my mind this morning, but Gary Avenue is within the shadows of U.S. Steel. So if you know that big U.S. Steel plant like that, that's where Fairfield is. And so I was at Flowerland Florist, and my job was delivering flowers. And I was using some of those things that did not come up with the children this morning. I was using paper maps. They were printed, they were paper, they were atlases, because I was not too terribly familiar with funeral homes, hospitals, not to mention houses and businesses around Fairfield. And so I would sometimes spend 30 minutes or more devising the best route for delivery. And I was amazed when MapQuest, how many of you remember MapQuest? When MapQuest came along and you wouldn't have to take the map, you wouldn't have to take the atlas, but you could actually print out turn-by-turn directions. I never got to use those delivering anything, but I would have been amazed at being able to do that because you could print out these turn-by-turn directions. I did discover because by that time I was just dipping my toes in the waters of ministry, but I did discover that even MapQuest can really mess you up when I was an associate pastor taking a group of teenagers into the mountains of North Carolina. They just did not work at all, even though we printed them at the church and they were there. But what about now? And our children, it's almost second nature to them because they've always lived with it. What about now, that GPS? As the preacher this morning who was leading them in that children's moment, they got the right answer. You know, I always know the answer that I wanted to have even before I ask them. But they did. They got the right one. But imagine that. You know, from printed maps, from atlases to MapQuest, where we could print out turn-by-turn directions, to now having it with, well, in our cars, in our phones, watches, and even more. I bet there's even more places that I'm too out of touch to know where GPS can actually exist at. But imagine God's voice being that global position in our lives, saying that this is the path to walk in it. You know, over the summer, and we started this past week, but continuing through the summer, we're really focusing on this idea about how do we hear God speak to us? Not just some kind of general way of God speaks, but a way of saying really personally, how does God speak to me? In this kind of regular, ongoing way, not just some kind of supernatural event that happens, you know, occasionally in our lives, but in this regular, ongoing way. And we talked last week about stopping that chatter sometimes that can get in the way of that. Chatter is what psychologists say are those noises, that voice in our heads that sometimes can be a really good voice. Sometimes that voice that can speak in our heads that can say, yes, you can do this, even though you're thinking, well, no, I'm not going to be able to do that. Or else that voice that speaks to our heads that says, you know, if you try this, you're going to fail miserably. And not only are you going to fail, but you're going to let a lot of people down that are around you too. Or else that voice that just seems to be so loud that it just is almost nonstop. It just won't be quiet. And so we did. We talked about that. We talked about learning to clear that voice that sometimes can be good, bad, and just nonstop, to recognize a place where God can speak. And again, just to get over this noise and this chatter and this distraction that comes to us. It was in May of 2021. A professor named Daniel Kahneman wrote a really interesting book. It's called Noise, A Flaw in Human Judgment. And he argues in that book that there will be instances where two different doctors will have the same patient and completely make different diagnoses. That there will be judges who have the same defendant, and they will, at the end, offer completely different sentences to these same defendants. Our job interviewers that will have the very same applicant and yet come, well, one will say yes, another will say no to the same applicant, same firm, same, you know, the rubric that goes through all those job interviews and all those practices and everything like that. And what Kahneman does in this book called Noise is he says that the difference in all of that is being the noise that surrounds all those decisions and the judgment that goes into actually coming to the place where you write down the diagnosis, where you actually go to sentencing, and where you actually say yes or say no to that applicant that is applying for a job. And he argues that when we slow down, we are able, as human beings, that we're able to minimize or even stop that noise that sometimes swirls around us and can even affect our judgment. And if we're able to stop that noise, well, it makes us as human beings able to make better decisions. Now, for all of us, what it means is that if we are able to stop the noise that sometimes can affect our own judgment, that sometimes can affect the decisions that are in front of us, what it means for us is that if we stop that noise, we're able to hear God speak to us. You know, Psalm 46:10 says this, "Be still and know that I'm God." You've heard me talk about that. You've heard a couple of other people in the congregation talk about that. But be still and know that I'm God. But you know what it doesn't say? It says be still. It doesn't tell us to sit still. And so what we can do is that when we are able to stop the noise, when we are able to find stillness, even though we still may be going 100 miles an hour, that in that stillness, we're able to know that God is present with us. You see, what Isaiah does, I think, such a beautiful job of reminding us is that we do not have an atlas or a roadmap. We don't just have printed directions that are available to us, but God's voice can become in our own lives a turn-by-turn, GPS-coordinated, real-time direction of the path that God intends for us to walk on. And I mean, how many of you would want to sign up for this and say, absolutely, I want to have God uncovering that path. And I want to have God's presence and speaking to me that is reminding me if I should go left or if I should go right. Well, the good news for us is that God does speak absolutely this way. Even when we're unsure, even when we are uneasy about where to turn next, which way to go next, this is the way that God speaks to us. And I know, well, if we were to imagine and to talk about someone who is talking behind our back, what kind of connotations does that bring up? Can be positive, right? I've recently heard this story of someone that was speaking, and they were talking about that there were a couple of people that were in their office, and they were people that were above this person. They were absolutely talking behind their back, and it actually led to a promotion. I love those stories. I love hearing those stories. That's why they stay in my mind, and that's why they stay in my memory, because, you know, oftentimes you don't hear those kinds of stories. You don't hear those positive stories where people are talking behind your back. A lot of times it can be extraordinarily negative. And sometimes you talk behind people's back because you don't want them to know what you're saying. But when God talks behind our back, it's always good, every single time. This is a beautiful story in the Old Testament. This is not only just a story in the Old Testament, but this comes from the book of Genesis as a foundational story. That's what Genesis is in our own scriptures, in our own history as followers of God, is that Genesis is the foundational story. But there are brothers, and they sell Joseph into slavery. And they're prepared as they encounter Joseph, who has found himself no longer a slave. And they're prepared to ask for forgiveness. And Joseph says to them, he says, "You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it to me for good." Again, it's foundational. Genesis 50, verse 20. Under the most dire conditions, Joseph learned to listen to God's voice. This reading from Isaiah this morning, the big picture, this big picture of what is happening in as Isaiah is prophesying, is that there is this overwhelming concern for the people of God about their future. Where can I be safe? It is becoming extraordinarily personal. Where can I be safe? How will I, and also how will my family be protected? And collectively, they have come to this decision, and they have come among themselves to say it is impossible to do it on their own. It's impossible for them to do it by themselves. And perhaps, maybe you felt this same way too. And if you have had this feeling before, this is exactly, if you felt like I can't make it on my own, this is what they're experiencing. Essentially, they're saying, we need help. And so what they have done, and this is the part that we have not read this morning, but if you go a little bit deeper into Isaiah chapter 30, you will see that they have begun to imagine, well, maybe we can have some allies. Maybe we can have some help. Maybe we can make these allies, maybe we can form these alliances and make them official. That is public, as well as all those declarations that happens in forming alliances. But then, as God begins to speak, and as Elijah did tell us, just standing right over there, as God begins to speak, and as he experienced God speaking into his life, he noticed that when you stop all the noise, when you stop all the chatter and listen to God in this moment, he noticed that his relationship with God began to emerge, began to change. And in fact, it can happen in our own lives. It will deepen because our dependence on God starts to increase. And this is what I think is so wonderful about Isaiah chapter 30, because you can actually watch Isaiah experience this. But when God speaks behind your back, it's always for the good. And you can expect a voice that will say, "This is the path, walk in it. To the right and to the left, this is the way to go." In fact, before this moment in the book of Isaiah, it was what led the people of Egypt to freedom. In the Exodus, a group of former slaves in Egypt, they begin to hear God's voice. And led by Moses, they begin to walk toward freedom. Later described in the Bible as they were once a no people, but now they are the people of God. Imagine that. Once no people, but now the people of God. In fact, this is what will lead Jesus to turn to his own disciples and simply say these words, "Follow me." Hearing God speak, putting these words into practice, is the difference between, well, Jesus will begin to describe it, and maybe you've heard this, it's the difference between building a house on sand and a house that has a rock-solid foundation. In fact, Matthew chapter 7 says it this way, "These are the words that I speak to you," Jesus says. And these are not incidental additions to your life. Again, this is Matthew chapter 7. These are not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. This is again, it's Matthew chapter 7, it's 24 through 27. It's from the Message translation. This house with a rock solid foundation all depends on hearing God speak in your life. And not only does God show the path, but there are turn-by-turn directions that are available to all of us. Where do we turn to the left? Where do we turn to the right? It's available to each of us. And capturing God's voice, becoming familiar with the direction that God so freely speaks into our lives, that really has the potential of changing our lives forever. Above the noise, above the chatter, God speaks. And it's this story. Well, this really old story that I absolutely love. That's about two men who stand in a place like this. And they stand with people that are gathered around. And they are going to offer a recitation of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You all know that psalm, Psalm 23. And so there's one man that has read that, that has studied that psalm, knows all the nuances above, knows how to enunciate, knows how to pronounce every word, knows when to pause, knows when to emphasize. And so this man stands. And he stands in a place just like this, and he recites Psalm 23. And immediately at the very end of that psalm, people leap, almost spontaneously. They leap up to their feet, and they're clapping, and they're applauding. And then the second man comes up, and he begins to offer Psalm 23. Same psalm, vastly different recitations, but he offers this recitation of Psalm 23. And at the very end of that, some people stand up and they clap. Others stay seated and they're weeping. And still others just have kind of a dazed look on their face like that. And so the question comes to the very first one. The one who has studied the psalm, the one who has this intimate knowledge of this psalm, says, "What's the difference? What happened in this moment? Why did people cheer for you, and why did still others cry in this second one?" And the man, again, it's an old story. If you've heard it, I'm going to keep saying it, so don't try to stop me. But when they ask the first man, he says, "I know the technicalities of Psalm 23. He says, "I do know how to make the enunciations. I know the emphasis on the words. I know the development of the words." He says, "You know, I know the psalm," but he says the difference being the second man who stood in this place, he knows the author of the psalm. This is the kind of intimacy that we can have with God. This is the kind of intimacy that comes through God's voice. It's the kind of intimacy that we see lived out in the life of Isaiah, who says that in the midst of which way they should go, Which way is, well, the way that God is leading them? Is it through alliances with others, or is it within us together? Is it in us depending on God to show us the path? And then, as the path is uncovered, to say, which way are we to go, to the left or to the right? Because we can always be assured that when God speaks and when God talks behind our backs, it is always for our good. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do thank you for the way that you speak into our lives and the ways that you lead us, Lord. And we pray and ask that as your people, that you will equip us, Lord, to hear you even more in our lives. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this day, Lord, uncover your path before us. May you show us the left. May you show us the right. And may you, O God, speak tenderly to our hearts. For we pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I do want to invite you this morning to come.